Thank you all for being here for this very important time together. And I'm so grateful that Don is with us. Don has been mayor of Kernersville for 11 years, and so thrilled that she can be here with this to speak to this very important message. Don, I feel like I'm just a little too far away from you. There. Now
Thank
I'm
you.
Closer.
That's better.
This message is something dear to my heart, and it strikes at the core of my heart. You know, every family has been affected by substance abuse. It is not something as a church that we should hide from. And one of my cousins spent time as a guest, I should say, of the Texas penitentiary system, a prolonged period of time. Another one of my cousins spent a prolonged period of time in the Texas penitentiary system, in the Arkansas penitentiary system, and in and out of countless county jails. Substance abuse is epidemic in this country. My cousins both were in prison for drug selling. And this is something that what they were dealing with was illegal drugs. And what Don is going to share in a minute is just how this issue is just a little bit different because we're dealing with legal drugs, prescription drugs. But this issue is very, very dear to my heart. And thank you all so much for being here. Let us have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we just come before you now. And Lord, we know that all of us gathered in this room are sinners. We are just sinners in need of a Savior. We ask in this time together that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Help us to be the church that you've called us to be, and help us to make a difference. Help us to truly be a church that dares to care. Pour out your Spirit upon us. We ask this in Christ our Lord's name. Amen. You all know that I am a huge football fan. So, of course, you know, we're going to begin our time together with a video of highlights by Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf was an all-star quarterback for Washington State, and he was a runner-up for the Heisman. Then he got drafted for the NFL. And he signed a four-year contract with San Diego for $31.25 million. After he played for San Diego, then he also played for the Dallas Cowboys, and he played for Seattle, and he played for Tampa Bay. So we're going to begin our time with a little bit of football. Ryan Leaf had it all. Fame, money, everything that you could want. He also had a problem.
After having had, you know, 7-8 surgeries and playing in the NFL, walking into a doctor's office and saying you're in pain isn't a stretch. And there really wasn't much discussion around them just handing you a prescription for 30, 60 pills with refills. As addicts, we're as manipulative as they come. We'll do anything to get that fixed because psychologically our brains have been turned into this constant yearning machine, and we'll do anything. We'll lie, steal, cheat to get that.
How long were you in prison for?
32 months.
And what were you arrested for?
Burglary, I had taken pills from one of my friend's homes and was in possession of them, so I got 7 years for burglary and possession of a prescription without a prescription.
Yeah.
I stole from a lot of people's homes. I didn't know a drug dealer. The doctors had stopped prescribing me medication, so I had found a way to order them online, and when I couldn't get them online, I would go to acquaintances' homes, pretend to be there to visit them, go through their medicine cabinets, and eventually simply just walk into random strangers' homes and take their medication. And there's too many stories out there. You hear of players who were giant stars and are now taking their own lives or ending up in prisons or without families or in criminal activity because of this, an introduction that was made while doing something they loved. Now, when I was 4 and 5 and 6 years old and I wanted to be this professional athlete, I didn't think it would take opioid medication for me to get through it from week to week. I don't think that's not an envisioned dream of ours. The opioid epidemic in the Metroplex is really out of control, and it's just not affecting the people others think it is. This affects young adults, kids in their teens, the stay-at-home mom, the businessman. It affects everybody. We look at this as a day-to-day thing. So every day I wake up, I thank God for relieving me of this addiction. Mm-hmm. And when I go to bed, I pray and am grateful for another day that I'm sober.
Don, would you share just a little bit about the opioid epidemic, and also would you kind of introduce the next video?
I'd be happy to. It is absolutely astounding. Unintentional opioid overdose in the state of North Carolina kills more people than car accidents. If you look at our national numbers, with the improvements in quality of life, with sanitation, with foods, with medicines, vaccines, every year for 100 years, our lifespan, our average expectancy lifespan has been increasing until now. It's the first time since the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic that life expectancy in the United States is actually declining, and it has been for 3 years in a row, and it's because of opioid overdose and suicide. The numbers are staggering. It's estimated more than a $500 billion economic loss. And it's all from medicines that were originally lawfully prescribed and taken. Brian Lee's experience is what they see other places. 53% of people who misuse opioid prescriptions get them from friends and family. Teens, it's an even higher percentage. If you look at teens ages 12 to 17, it's 57%. So Kernersville, you know, is a great community, and we wanted to be proactive about crime. We wanted to be proactive about our public safety efforts. And you go to neighboring communities, neighboring counties, there are places where parking lots are littered with syringes, and we don't want Kernersville to be like that. The problem is prescription opioids and heroin have the same active impact on your body. And so they've surveyed heroin users, and the majority of heroin users, it may be as many as 4 out of 5, started with misuse of prescription opioids. So, you see the reports in the Kernersville News about the breaking and enterings into vehicles, people being found unresponsive in vehicles. These are signs that it is here in our community. If you think about it, Kernersville is a crossroads community. Before it was incorporated as Kernersville, it's called Dobson's Crossroads. So we have I-40, we have Highway 421, Business 40, we've got Highway 66 going through our community. It is coming through our community, it is in our town. So Kernersville has a free service, a pill drop box. Your pharmacist, Kernersville Pharmacy, wants you to know about it. They have a flyer posted in their business to let you know that this free service is available. Your realtor, I see Brooke Cash in here, who served with me for many years on the board of aldermen. Your realtor wants you to know about it. If you have prescription medicines you're not using, they're out of date, they're expired, they're not needed, then take them to the pill drop box. If you have prescription medicines that you're using, especially if they're opioids, keep track of them, count them, lock them up when you're not home, keep a record of it. I thought that I probably wouldn't have very many around my house, and I got looking, and I found a prescription that Matthew had been given after his wisdom teeth were removed. I found a prescription from a family member after surgery, and these medicines have been in my medicine cabinet for 8 years. I didn't know how to get rid of them, really. You don't want to flush them down the toilet because then it gets in the water. You don't want to throw them in the trash because wildlife could get into them. So the pill drop box is a really nice way to dispose of them. You can take them to the police department in the bottles. Then you empty the bottles into a plastic bag. The plastic bag goes into a lock box and it is taken by secure transport to police officers to Charlotte, where the contents of the box are incinerated. So you keep your bottles and dispose of them how you'd like to at home. And you can just dispose of the medicine and keep it out of harm's way, keep it from falling into a possibility of misuse, keep it away from accidental poisonings in the house. 60,000 young children last year nationwide went to the emergency room because they got into vitamins or medicines in the home. So you can prevent that kind of problem too. You know, you think about it and you think about our community, and it's a wonderful community, but if you've got a beautiful apple, you don't want to just polish the shiny apple and ignore that there's a bruise. You want to do something about it. We can't turn our back on problems in our community. We don't want to take the beautiful apple, admire the shine, and turn the bruise to the back. We are blessed with a loving God. Hebrews 14, the verse before the verse of the day, shows that God knows all of our problems. God sees everything. All of it is seen by God. If you look at the Psalms, Psalm 22, God cares for the afflicted. He hears the cry of the afflicted. He doesn't turn away. What a gracious and loving God who hears the cry of the afflicted. And I think as a community, we think about how the Bible is alive and how God speaks to us through the Bible even today. And if I was a child reading the word afflicted, which incidentally, I understand, has 11 different translations in afflicted Hebrew, has in the Hebrew language, there are 11 different words that translate into English as afflicted. And I would have thought, if I was a child, that affliction was leprosy, an Old Testament illness we don't hear too much about anymore. But if you read it and think about it, we have an affliction in our community, the opioid disorder. We have individuals have an affliction of dependence on it. And we need to work together as a community to do something about it and not to ignore it. God doesn't ignore the cries of the afflicted. And God gives us comfort and strength. And we can use that comfort and strength from God to turn around and use that comfort we get from God to help others. And I'm here today because the church is the center of the community. If you have noticed our town seal, a church building is front and center on our town seal. The faith community is so important to Kernersville, and together we can work through any problem. The video you're going to see is from the state of North Carolina, Department of Justice and Department of Health and Human Services, that illustrates the problem we have in our state. Last year, there were 530 million prescription opioid pills dispensed, and some of these can fall into the wrong hands. So we've got this really inspirational video to show.
North Carolina. Our state is such a beautiful place. But look closer. Closer. You might be surprised by what you see. There are millions of unused and leftover opioid pills in this state alone. And when you look closely, you start to see the problems. The misuse, the addiction, and the fact that opioid overdoses have doubled in the past 10 years. Almost 30 deaths every week. That's more than 5 every day. Oxy, Vicodin, Percocet, morphine. There are enough powerful opioid pills in North Carolina to stretch from the mountains to the beaches. And for many of us, the danger is right here at home, hiding in our own medicine cabinets. These unused and leftover pain pills are everywhere. They're overwhelming our state and devastating lives. But there is something more powerful than these pills, stronger than opioids. It's us. All of us. Together, we can take the first step in solving the problem. We can take back our unused and leftover pills. We can talk to our families about the risks associated with opioids. We can ask our doctors about alternatives for pain management. And together, we can overpower this deadly epidemic and take back our communities. To find a drop-off site near you or for resources and treatment in your area, visit morepowerfulnc.org.
A couple of weeks ago in the Kernersville newspaper, I wrote an article about the son of High Point, John Coltrane. And I told the story about John Coltrane's deal that he made with God. And Coltrane made a deal with God. He suffered from a heroin addiction. And he said, God, if you take away my heroin addiction, I will spend the rest of my life writing sacred music for you. Well, Coltrane had a miraculous deliverance, and he spent the rest of his life writing sacred music. But Coltrane's story is the exception. It's unusual. And it needs to be told because it's important, but it's unusual. Most folks who struggle with substance abuse issues walk a very, very long and difficult road, a road that they need lots of support on. And we want to be the church that supports people. And I'm so proud of Main Street for the ministries that we already have, for the AA ministry that meets here, and for Al-Anon that meets here, and for CareNet that meets here. We want to be that church that dares to care. You know, you hear stories about, you know, people who can be a little bit like the church lady, right? You know, a little sanctimonious, a little looking down their nose at other people. And you know, I was alone in my dorm room at Arkansas Tech University, and I had a powerful experience of God that set me on the journey that I never thought I'd be a preacher, trust me. Didn't see that one coming. Set me on the journey that I am on. And you know, when that happened, I immediately went out and started witnessing to people, and I thought, you know what? Isn't God good to get me? I mean, isn't God just lucky to get me? Here I am doing all this street witnessing. Didn't God get a prize when God got me, right? And you know what? I didn't realize what a problem I had. And one day, I'm reading C.S. Lewis. And I read this passage in C.S. Lewis, and it just knocks me over. Lewis wrote, "If anyone thinks that Christians regard unchastity as a supreme vice, he is quite wrong. The sins of the flesh are bad, but they are the least bad of all sins. All the worst pleasures are purely spiritual. The pleasure of putting other people in the wrong, of bossing and patronizing and spoiling sport, and backbiting, the pleasures of power, of hatred. For there are two things inside of me competing with the human self, which I must try to become. They are the animal self and the diabolical self. The diabolical self is the worst of the two. That is why a cold, self-righteous prig who goes regularly to church may be far nearer to hell than a prostitute. But of course, it is better to be neither." And I didn't realize until I read that passage what a problem I had with spiritual pride. And when I read that passage, I realized that was not going to be something that was going to go away quickly. That was going to be a long journey in my life, a long journey of overcoming that issue, a long journey of overcoming spiritual pride. And, you know, we never know the struggles of the people who sit next to us in church. We never know what struggles they're facing. C.S. Lewis makes this comment that, you know, it's nothing to me if I haven't been tempted by something, and so I have victory over that. That's no accomplishment to me. I've never been tempted by it. And what we need to do as Christians is always, always love each other and support each other and reach out and minister to each other, because we're all dealing with different issues. And we need to be folks who are supporting one another and helping one another on their spiritual journey. I served in Ashe County from 1994 to 1999 at Bethany United Methodist Church. Loved serving there, wonderful church. And the pastor who was two pastors before me, his name is Kim Williams. And Kim, it was so gifted. I heard from so many parishioners in that church how much they loved his ministry and how much they were affected by his ministry. And I wouldn't be sharing this story with you if Kim had not gone public with it and published an article in the Winston-Salem Journal in 2015. But I was shocked when I got the news in 1999 about what happened. I was shocked that such a talented United Methodist pastor would no longer be serving in the United Methodist Church. And he wrote about this in the Winston-Salem Journal in the May 21st, 2015 paper. He wrote, "Addict. On July 10th, 1999, I lost what felt like everything. Accused of felony crimes, arrested in Salisbury for fraudulently obtaining a controlled substance and defrocked. I awoke to the loss of my 15-year career as a pastor with the United Methodist Church. I was unemployed, and every family member and friend saw me with tenuous acceptance, and those were the very loving ones. It makes sense, really. I had been arrested and convicted of reduced charges, given a suspended sentence with 18 months of supervised probation. I had lied to my family, lied to parishioners and friends repeatedly about my opiate addiction. I had borrowed money with no real way of paying it back. Being an addict means so much that is negative in our lives. Lies, stealing, distrust. We wrap addicts in all of these." Kim didn't have a miraculous deliverance. He had a very, very long journey to walk. And with the help of treatment, with the help of counseling, he now is on the other side of that. But it didn't come quickly, and it didn't come easy. He's an incredibly gifted person. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to anyone. It can happen to Ryan Leaf at the top of your game, with all kinds of money you can't even imagine. It can happen to a United Methodist pastor. It can happen to anyone. The passage from Hebrews that Wayne read this morning is so powerful, that Jesus is our high priest, and that we can take to Jesus all of our concerns and all of our troubles, and take all of that to him in prayer. He knows us. He knows every bit about us, and we can take all of that and lay it before him. We as Methodists have an amazing spiritual father in John Wesley. You know, John Wesley spoke against the evils of his day. He spoke against the slave trade. He spoke against all of the other problems. He went into the prisons to feed prisoners who were hungry. He taught illiterate people how to read. The Methodist movement that he let loose was a social gospel movement that was incredibly powerful. A lot of folks don't realize that John Wesley was a spiritual mentor to John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. A lot of folks don't realize that John Wesley was a spiritual mentor to William Wilberforce, who was the member of Parliament who led the 20-year crusade to abolish slavery in England. And you know England made a fortune off of that. And it was a courageous crusade that they did. In just a few moments, the video is going to play. Chris Tomlin will be singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Broken, My Chains Are Gone. And in that time, I invite you to a time of prayer. I invite you into a time of prayer to pray for all people who are struggling with issues that we may not even know about. I invite you to a time of prayer to pray for families who have lost loved ones. I invite you for a time of prayer to pray for our nation. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the gun epidemic in this nation, the violence epidemic in this nation, the mass shootings in our country. I invite you to pray for our country. I invite you to pray for all of the politicians, those you like, those you don't like. I invite you to pray for all of them. I invite you to pray for our country. I invite you to pray for our state. I invite you to pray for our community, our city, and all of our churches, that we will be the people that God calls us to be. I invite you to pray for the people who are sitting next to you on the pew. You don't know the burdens that they have brought in to the sanctuary this morning. Let us now enter into a time of prayer.